Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians 3:15. Say it again. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians 3:15. Didn't hear a lot of voices out there, but we're glad to see each one of you here today, and trust this will be a great day in the Lord's house. So let's ask the Lord's blessing. Pastor Hatchett, lead us, please.
Father, we do plead for your blessing this morning. We pray that as we look into your word and study these great doctrines of the Bible, that, Lord, you would help us to just marvel at your grace and your goodness to us, and Father, the great riches that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask that you would just bless now your word as it, Lord, has presented to us this morning.
Amen. Okay, we are back on Genesis, and we're talking about angelology. I want to cover a couple things that we kind of brushed on last week. The question is, the question of when Satan fell. I guess we'd have to answer that by saying that at the end of the creation week, God said that everything he had done was what? Was very good. So, and since Satan was created and the angels were created, and God said all that creation was good, it couldn't have been before the creation week, could it?
Doesn't God say that Satan was created perfect?
And he was created perfect. So, the fall of Satan would have come shortly after the creation week. The other question is, how long would it be between the end of the creation week and the fall? We don't really have any specific scripture, but if Adam and Eve were created to multiply and to fill the earth, and Eve was not with child, it would seem that this took place within days of the creation week. Yes?
Wasn't, though, the angels weren't created in the same domain as us, so, I mean, they're not, I mean, when we start, we're trying to frame them in time where God is timeless, and so difficult to, like I said, the Bible doesn't talk about where the angels were created at all. So we're trying to frame it in our understanding, and it's difficult because they're not at all like us.
Okay. They were. Let's see. I guess the question is, the creation, okay? You're saying the creation of the angels was in a different realm than the creation of the earth.
Yeah, they're different beings.
Well, you have to say universe, because the universe was created.
Yes.
Which is fine. I mean, that's a possibility.
Okay. That would be some possibility.
We don't know, yeah.
Yes.
It looks, I mean, if he created the heaven and the earth on the first day, I mean, they'd have to have been, it couldn't really have existed without having a heaven to live in. So I think that at least, I don't think you can take them before the creation week. they are created beings. God is all temporal, but the angels aren't.
Okay. Now, Thomas says that they'd have to have a heaven to have their domain.
But their heaven was actually in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God was ruling in heaven before he created these heavens.
And
that's a big question. I mean, it really is a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't come down to our heaven until the fall. Our domain became their domain after the fall. And they were...
Okay. So there is no definitive answer. The only thing that would relate the creation of angels with the world would be that the angels are created, and when they were created good. And God tells us that when he created the end of the creation week, that everything he created was good. That would be the link. Okay?
Pastor, were the angels created here in God's image also like man was?
No. No. Angels were not created in God's image. Yes?
It does also say that Satan was in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nancy. Yes, angels were created with a will. Yeah. They are spirit beings. They are not, but they are not human beings. Okay. They are beings, but they are not spirit human beings. Human beings were created in the image and likeness of God. Okay. Where does that angels would have been how do we define the difference between an angel for instance, an angel can't be saved. Once angels fell, that was the end of their estate. There was no salvation planned for the angels and Satan. Yes?
Did the scripture explain why Christ did not die for the angels at all?
Because, again,
they're not made in the image of God?
They aren't. The Bible tells us, the Bible tells us that let us make man in our own image.
So why are we more special than the angels?
Because God chose that.
One other difference is that the angels weren't treated as a race unity, like we all are one Adam. So I don't know. You couldn't have Christ like become an angel and die in the same sort of way because they weren't a race. They weren't unified as a race that fell and could be redeemed. They were individually created.
Okay.
So there wasn't like a head angel up when he fell. They all fell. Or something like that.
All right. You get that? In other words, in the Bible says Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, we were all in Adam. All mankind is in Adam. The angels are individuals, and they are not, in that sense, connected. They were all created at one time. They were not born. They were not reproduced. They are all individuals. Pastor Hatchett.
Mm-hmm. No, there are not any more angels being created. God created all the angels that were created, and that's it. They're not expanding their population.
Exactly. Okay. I left my page of notes in my office here. See how I can do without them. Okay. Right by the computer there. There's just verses there that I wanted to look at. Okay. So, what was the purpose of Let's talk about getting to God's purposes. God had a kingdom in heaven, and he had a kingdom on earth. And his rule was over the kingdom of heaven, and his rule was over the kingdom of earth. And last week we asked the question, Thomas asked the question, just a bunch of verses on the paper that I was looking up. The question was, how do we know that Satan could really offer the kingdoms of this world to the Lord? That was the question. A couple insights into that. Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 18. It's 15. Okay. There we go. Thank you. Revelation 11:15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And here we find the defeat of Satan as that turning point of in which the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. Think of Daniel chapter 10. We think of that insight into the kingdoms of this world and the powers behind them. I think it's Daniel 10. And here we have, I probably didn't quote, let's see, 10:20, I think. Daniel prayed, the answer to Daniel's prayer was hindered. Verse 20, "Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Here we find this great battle between the powers of God and the powers of the Satan behind the nations. Question is, I was thinking about this. You know, that's one of the things that the rulers of the world have no understanding about. The political leaders, if you think of anything of this political campaign is taking place for the Republicans. One thing that you can almost hear nothing about is God. And that is amazing. For the so-called conservatives, they have almost no concept of God and God's, you know, place in the world. And, of course, most of the kingdoms of the world function that way. But here we find insight. Well, who is the spiritual power behind Persia? Who's the spiritual power behind Greece? Well, these are angels, fallen angels. Michael?
I was going to say, he tempted Christ and could have granted that to him. But if Christ, through his temptation, would have said, you know, tricked him, would have said yes. And if the angels came to save him or his father, but Jesus Christ is God, that would have made him a liar. So it would almost be like tricking God through his temptation, and God would have almost, I would think, had to have followed through in submission forever to Satan. Otherwise, if he he would have said, yes, I'll do that, and then they would have, God would have come to save him, that would have made God a liar.
Well, I guess that would have been the end if God would submit to Satan.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. It's almost through tricking and trying to get him to submit to him, because God would have had to have followed through on that if he would have agreed to it, because otherwise he'd be a liar.
So let's kind of go to the temptations of Christ for a minute and look at that. Last week we were kind of talking about this principle of what was Satan's purpose? Satan's purpose was to cause man to rebel against God. And so instead of God ruling over man, Satan would rule over man. And Adam and Eve sinned. And now we have, let's talk about the realm of Satan. We'll go to a number of different places here, but what is the realm of Satan? The realm of Satan is called the cosmos. Now, the word cosmos is the word world in 1 John 2:14 and 15. Now, this word world is different than the word world in John 3:16, in which that word for world emphasizes the idea of inhabitants. Okay, but in 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then it tells us that what is the world? It says that all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay? Now, the word cosmos is an interesting word. I think we mentioned this last week, didn't I? The word cosmos comes from the idea, I probably should put it somewhere else. I would call the cosmos a highly organized system of rebellion against God. A highly organized system of rebellion against God. We get the word cosmos, from the word cosmos, we get the word, I mentioned it last week, cosmetic. And, you know, if you see one of these cosmetic things, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step six, step seven, step eight, step nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Think about that, you know. Time of the New Testament, I wonder what kind of people, you know, had that kind of stuff. But anyway, but the emphasis there is highly organized. Now, the devil, by getting the realm of this world, he has set up a highly organized system of rebellion against God. Now, we're going to compare Matthew 4 with Genesis 3. Okay? So in Matthew 4, he said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Okay? So this is the lust of the flesh. We're going to put this, this means food before God. food before God. I think he was hungry after 40 days. How many think so? How many are hungry after one day? Okay, 40 days. He was hungry. And he said, if you're the Son of God, the implication is, I know you're the Son of God. Okay, prove it. Take this stone, make it bread. Now he is hungry. And what was he saying? Don't trust God to provide for your food. Don't trust God for when he is going to provide for your food. Take it into your own hands and turn this stone into bread. So it was food before God. That's a simple temptation, isn't it? Now in the Garden of Eden, as Eve started talking to Satan, apparently she never looked at that tree before in the way she did after she started talking to the Satan. She never looked at it like that. She looked at it as something that was forbidden. And, okay, it's forbidden. But she started talking to the devil. And the Bible says, and she saw that it was what? Good for food. You know, she didn't think of it as good for food before. She thought of it as the tree she wasn't supposed to eat. So she didn't think of it as food. Because God said, don't eat of it. It wasn't food before, but now she looked at it and it says, oh, it's good for food. And what was he? Again, the temptation, there's the lust of the flesh. Okay, all three of these places talks about this world system. All right? And so, food before God. So, you might say it's the legitimate physical needs of man ahead of God, outside of God's plan. Now, in this day in which we live, we think of the lust of the flesh. We think it of the sensual, the that type of realm. But again, God made man, God made woman, God made marriage. And the temptation of the world today is put the physical before God. Think about it. What do they say? They say at least the majority of all junior hires in the public school are sexually active. Highly organized system of rebellion against God. All right, let's go to, by the way, how do you have put food before God? How do you put food before God? Al?
You fast. I mean, fasting doesn't imply food, but most Christians would say...
Okay, there's a principle there. But how does the world put food before God? Mrs. Myers? Okay, but where? How does it get the world? Food before God.
You can damage your body with an overabundance of it, the body that the Lord gave you.
Could do that. Okay. How does the world, though, how does it really work in the world?
Not thanking God before we eat.
Okay, not thanking God, not giving God credit. Something more simple than that, Pastor Hatcher.
Satan attempting to do. He was attempting to open his eyes to something that God prohibited.
Okay? Food before God. What does the world say? Hey, I got a supply of food for my family. I got to supply food for my family. Right? That legitimizes what? Huh? Any job. Okay, it legitimizes, like you said, working on Sunday or putting work in front of God in some way. It refers to all illicit occupations. Ever try to win somebody to the Lord involved in an illicit occupation? Are there any illicit occupations in this world? Are there a lot of them? Okay, there's a lot of illicit illicit occupations. And you know what? When people think about God, what do they think about? No. They say no. This is how I put food on my table. You know, I'm not going to leave the casino. I'm not going to leave Miller Brewery. I'm not going to leave this printing occupation. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Because why? Okay? So it's a simple principle. I mean, this gets down to the heart of the issue. Why should I consider Jesus Christ when that means I have to get rid of my food? I'm going to have to. And that's the same principle, faith before food. I mean, it's another simple principle. Okay, I always teach this principle. Okay, on your budget, you're struggling with your budget. Okay, struggling with spending. What's the last thing that should be on your budget? Food. All your bills should come ahead of food. In America, tell me what's first? Food. And then someone talked about tithing. Yeah? That's a big switch, isn't it? It's a big switch from food to tithing. Okay? And then pay your bills, and then food. You know what? That would save, that would really keep people from going into debt, wouldn't it? If the last thing they bought was food. Okay, and my brother-in-law one time, he was reading, he had gotten into debt. He was reading George Mueller. He says George Mueller said, when you get bills, you spend your money improperly. The principle is God's going to take that money out of your hide. And many Christians, food's first. Bill second, God last. It should be the opposite. God first, bill second, food last. God can provide food easier than money. Yes?
Satan really has never changed his tactics since the time he tempted Eve.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're saying. Yeah. He hasn't changed his tactics. It's exactly the same. And his world system is based on those same tactics.
Satan cannot tempt us with something that we don't want. But what he does is he's an expert of drawing a picture. Mm-hmm. Bringing it into our mind. That's where it starts here. Even though I didn't want it, he paints this gorgeous picture. And that's when the desires come in.
Okay, so the lust of the eyes.
It's noteworthy too that all these things that Satan brings out are actually things that God made that were good. Like the trees, God made every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food in Genesis 2:9. And so Satan takes these things that God has made and makes it like this tree is so great, whatever.
Okay.
Anything good that Satan gives people.
You know, is food good? Do you need food? Is marriage right? Yeah. But what does Satan do? He makes all of that what? Come before who? God. Come before God. Put that in front of God. Don't live by faith. You put your life into your own hands. And you take your life out of God's hands and put it into your own hands and you make it happen. Okay? And that's the temptation. Dave?
The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God.
Yep.
And that's the directive. You know, that's the passage.
Okay. And so again, it's the law of faith versus this, right? Okay, so the lust of the eyes. Okay, she saw that the food was pleasant for food. A pleasant to look upon. Okay? And so Jesus, the devil, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Boy, it was pleasant to look on. Okay? Right? Ever see the lights of San Francisco? Boy, it's one of the most beautiful looking cities in all the world. Oh, is it evil? But it is so beautiful. Okay? And so the lust of the eyes is the whole principle of wanting that which is drawn to that which is pleasant to look upon. Now, how does the world do that? Where are the cleanest restrooms in the world?
Las Vegas.
Why? Why do they make their restrooms so beautiful?
How do we know that?
I don't know.
We just take that for because they say they are. I don't know about bathrooms in Las Vegas.
That's what I've read. Why? Because they make sin look beautiful. They try to make sin look beautiful. What about Hollywood? Those are the most, many of those people are the darkest people in the world. But what do they look like? Movie stars are the celebrities, the newspaper's all about the celebrities. That sets everything about life. The styles are set by the celebrities, right? Okay? And so think about the American dream. The American dream. You know, what is the American dream? Well, it's disappearing, but the American dream is, you know, this 2 to 3 story house with all these different roof lines, you know, with beautiful landscaping, with a swimming pool in the backyard, with 3 new cars in the garage, and a boat and a snowmobile and everything. And boy, and the young people go by there and they say, "Oh, that must be great." And it looks so great, doesn't it? But there's no who has any idea what's really going on there. Right? Who has any idea what's really going on there? Who has any idea what's really going on? It's the outward appearance, isn't it? And, of course, this is a draw card. Okay? The whole catalog industry is based on, you know, that, right? Isn't that the way? The lust of the eyes. And young people, boy, they're really drawn into that, aren't they? Really drawn. People, they make their whole life, "Oh, if I only had that." And they have this picture in their mind of these beautiful things that they want. And again, there's a whole principle of faith versus on your own seeking that which would seem to satisfy It doesn't really have any meaning. And so this whole world system is based on that. Okay? Pride of life. Satan said to him, "You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You'll be like God. You'll be something more than who you are. Just think of who you'll be. And Satan said to Christ, he said, just jump down from the highest point of the pinnacle of the temple. Jump down, and the angels will catch you right before you hit the ground. And then everybody will know that you really are the Christ." And so, again, what was he appealing to? He was appealing to this acceptance of men rather than acceptance by God. Acceptance by men rather than acceptance by God. Okay, isn't that a big part? Who doesn't want to be accepted?
I believe the greatest thing in the pride of life is, I find it, especially with men, is I can handle it. You know, I'm in charge, I can handle it.
Well, that's just pride. That's pride. That's pride, for sure. The famous trio of the world. You know the famous trio of the world to fit in? You have Hollywood, you have the music industry, and you have the fashion industry. They all work hand in hand. And all of this world is fitted. Okay, the political correctness. Well, that's a pretty powerful force, isn't it? That powerful force? I mean, this foundation wasn't going to give money to Planned Parenthood because they're crooked, they're under investigation, they're doing illegal activities, and the liberal media blasted them. And what did they do? They caved in. Right here. Pride of life. You know, can't take being looked down upon or the scorn of the world. Okay? The whole world system, I mean, this is all illustrating that Satan is in charge of this world. Satan is in charge of this world. He has these principles all in stake here. Now, if, okay, this is his realm. This is his ruling. To submit to these principles is to submit to this highly organized system of rebellion against God. If you submit to this highly organized system of rebellion against God, then the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Antithesis. There's a young man recently was in a Bible class, the head Bible professor, and the professor was talking about culture and adapting to the culture. And this young person tried to bring up the world and worldliness. And this professor just put him down. Like he didn't know what he's talking about. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is the main problem today. Worldliness. And our whole world is based, he has organized this, his domain in this world, in these areas. And to rid ourselves of the world will require faith in every one of these areas. Faith to say, you know, it doesn't really matter what the world thinks. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the world thinks. What I care about is what the Lord thinks. That's a very important thing. You know, new evangelicalism is one of the prime tenets of new evangelicalism is making Christianity acceptable to the world. Do you understand that? That's the main principle of new evangelicalism, making Christianity acceptable to the world. To not get the scorn of the world. Julia.
Seems like a characteristic that just kind of pops up in each of these, you know, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, is just unthankfulness. I mean, trusting God, but also just unthankfulness for what the wonderful things He has given us.
Okay.
Okay,
contentment. Was Eve content before Satan tempted her? Yeah, I'm content. Don't look. We're not supposed to eat that food, that tree. That's okay. No food from that tree. Contentment. And of course, the devil, again, dealt with this whole principle. And contentment, thankfulness are certainly related, aren't they? Okay. So we have this realm of Satan that is so important for us to understand that that his rule over this world, and he when man sinned. Now he's able to come into this world, and it's his kingdom. Okay, and we need to see. Well, here is a system of rebellion against God. Okay, and we need to make sure we think that way. And that's, we find this foundation right there in Genesis 3. Okay, let's look at, again, quickly, Ephesians 4. We talk Christ, Satan as the prince of the power of the air. It says in Philippians 2. Verse 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Here's the course of this world. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's the course of this world. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It means strong desire. Okay? Strong desire. Okay? A course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation times past in the lusts of our flesh. Ephesians 2 and 3. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Well, how does that work? How does that work? Did that?
He makes those that don't believe see sin as good and good as
sin. Okay, very good. The Bible talks about the beauty of holiness. What does the world think about holiness? Does it think it's beautiful? What does the world think? It is something absolutely undesirable, right? So think of all these things. This is why decision evangelism and these rock music evangelists and all of that it doesn't produce conversion, because they're saying lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, you can have it all. And you can have Christ too. It's antithetic. It's the opposite. It's impossible. Okay? So what does the world think? What does the world think about a godly young person?
Brainwashed.
Yeah. There you go. Brainwashed. Yes.
I think they're, and I'm sure it's not for all unbelievers, but I think there is something in even an unbeliever, or when they see a believer in the peace of God and the joy of a relationship with Him that is attractive to them. It kind of sparks a curiosity that they're not used to.
Okay, but that's outside of this realm. See, that's getting them outside of this realm.
Yes, it is. I think that is the word of the Lord.
When they get outside of this realm, then there's something that the Spirit of God can work in their life. But the world is hooked on this realm, and Christianity is in conflict with this realm. And so the world, they say a believer, but everybody's leaving. I don't know what I said. The world sees a believer, and they'll say something like, I remember we had a lady who was witnessing to their neighbors, and you know, the first thing comes out of their mouth was, I'm not going to go swimming dressed like that. You know, that's the first thing in their mind. Man, no way. I'm not considered the gospel at all. And I guess you could, there's somebody else. Boy, we're in trouble. Okay, Dominique. Well, yes, Hinduism, Hindus will easily accept the Lord if you can say, okay, I just add Him to my list of gods. But if you say, no, you must reject all your gods and accept only Christ, that makes it different, doesn't it? Okay? And really, that's what the gospel is. You know, who is Jesus Christ? And this really is an attack upon Satan's system, and the answer, like we said, is faith. Answer is faith. Okay? Oh boy, we better close. One after another here. Okay. Let's close. Father, we pray that in our own minds we will have the world system correctly identified in our mind as Satan's system of his rule over this world, though temporarily. And Lord, I pray that we will understand these principles. We will understand where the real conflict is that has never changed. And the Bible clearly reveals it to have been in motion since the fall. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to think correctly about this world in which we live and how, by faith, to put you first in Jesus' name.